We are going to learn about the anointing, and I'm going to give a teaching today about what is the anointing. I know many of you have heard of this thing about the anointing, and what does it mean? Is it relevant today in our lives as believers of the New Testament? And what does it mean? So we're going to start, and when we speak of the anointing, in the Old Testament, what used to happen is that whenever God will want a king to be anointed, he will ask a prophet to go with oil, and they will go with a jar of oil and maybe a flask of oil, and then they will find the prophet or the king that is to be anointed, let's say his name is David, and then they are going to pour the oil on the head of the person that is chosen to be king. Now, what will happen is that when the oil is poured, the oil will flow from the head, the beard, to every part of his body. And this person is going to have a certain smell, because the oils were made of perfume. So there was something that was going to be a symbol that was going to be on them. Now, one of the things about the anointing is that the anointing is a symbolic application of oil. Why do I say symbol? Because it means something, okay? So the anointing is not that the power is in the oil, but the oil points us to the Holy Spirit. And this is what is very important that we need to understand. So when we say the anointing, we mean it is a symbolic application of oil, either through pouring on or smearing, okay? So there are those who will smear oil, and it marks consecration. It also marks being set apart. It also being marked being empowered for a specific divine function. So when someone will, like, I don't know what culture is there here, but back home, when you go for blessings of your grandparents, they can even use oil, just the normal oil, and just apply on you, and that is just a mark of their blessing. But you see, in the Old Testament, when that was done, it meant that this person is set aside for the work of God. So consecration means that you are made holy, that now you can no longer use this for evil things. So when the oil was placed on them, this person was declared consecrated. So kings were put oil, also priests were also applied oil. So whenever a priest was being appointed, they are going to pour oil on the priest. So Moses also poured oil on the priest. Now, a very important thing that happens when the oil was poured on the person, what happens is that the Holy Spirit came upon this person. Now, in the Old Testament, only few kind of people were given the Holy Spirit. Number one, it was kings. So when they were anointed with the oil, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they were able to have the wisdom, they were able to have the influence, they were able to have power to be a king. So if a king was not anointed, people would not follow that person. So it was necessary for the king to be anointed. That meant that God has chosen you. Not you anointing yourself, the prophet sent by God had to come and say, this is the person that I have chosen. So, and then, apart from prophets, it was also on priests. Now, in the New Testament, remember that the oil points to the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, apart from oil, there were also other aspects that were used to represent the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're going to see, like, one of them is the mantle. The prophets will have this cloth, this garment that they have. And when Elijah wanted to anoint Elisha, he just came and removed his cloth, his garment, and put it on top of Elisha. That was the anointing. So, in the New Testament, every believer has an anointing by the Holy Spirit. Can you say every believer has the anointing? I and you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. However, not many believers walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to ask ourselves why, and what are the reasons why we believers, we have the Holy Spirit, but we don't function like people who are anointed, and we don't know that we are anointed. Now, I gave an example of King Saul. Now, if we read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 to 6, the Bible says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head," and this is the head of Saul, "and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Zelah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what about my son? Then you shall go forward and come to the terebinth tree of Taboth, and there three men shall go up to God at Bethel, will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, and you shall receive from their hand, and then after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistines' garrison is, and it will happen that when you have come to that city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and will be turned into another man." Verse 9 says, "So it was when he had turned back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those things came to pass that day. When they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." Now, there are many things that are happening to Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. What happened is that the Israelites did not have a king. They had judges. And Samuel was a prophet and a judge, and he was the last judge of Israel. Now, what happened is that the sons of Samuel were not obedient to follow God. So, because they were not obedient, the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, "Give us a king." Then Samuel was very sad. He said, "Why do you want a king?" Then God told him, "Don't be sad. It is not you they have rejected as a king. They have rejected me, God, as their king. And because they have rejected me as their king, I will give them a king. But there is something that I want them to know. The king is going to oppress them. The king is going to tax them. The king is going to take their sons and daughters and use them to do certain things." So the king was going to take advantage of them. But you see, something happens that he is told that God tells Samuel that tomorrow you're going to meet a man who is going to be... Thank you. You're going to meet the man I have chosen to be king. Saul did nothing to be chosen. He was chosen by grace. Now, God made a way that the father of Saul, his donkeys were lost. So Saul goes to look for the donkeys. Now, as he goes to look for the donkeys, after 3 days, they don't find the donkeys. Then they say, "Let us go and ask the prophet." Now, as they go to meet the prophet, Samuel, God reminds Samuel, "This is the man I told you." So what does Samuel do? He goes, he organizes a feast for them, they go and sacrifice, and then when they're alone, he says, "Now I anoint you as king of Israel." Now, there are three key things that we see. He was anointed commander of the Israelites. That means that the anointing came to make him a king. Okay? So before that, Saul was just a tall man. He was a head taller than everyone. But he was not king and could not be king. But when the oil came upon him, then he is told, "You're going to be commander." Remember, the oil is the Holy Spirit. Number two, he was told that you're going to meet some prophets. They're going to be singing and dancing. And then they're going to give you bread. And when he met them, what happens is that he accepted the bread means the word of God, and then what happens, he started to prophesy. So the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, and he also prophesied. So the Holy Spirit came to give him power to be a king. Number two, also the ability to prophesy. And then there's also something that happened. The Bible says that God gave him another heart. Can you see all the things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes? Because of the anointing, you get authority to be a king or to function in what God has called you to be. Number two, you also get a supernatural ability to communicate the word of God. That means anyone that is with the Spirit of God can preach. Prophesying is actually just preaching. You go and pray and you ask God, what will I share? And God tells you, okay, why don't you share on this? And then you come and share on that. That is prophesying. So he prophesied. Then he was told something. When these signs come upon you, you shall be turned into another man. That means he became a confident person. He received the power to evangelize. The reason why people don't have courage to preach is because they don't have the anointing, or they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to give them that confidence. Okay? So Saul was anointed, God gave him another heart, and he became king. Another person that was anointed is David. We know David was the last born brother of 8 brothers, and he was taking care of sheep. Now when Saul sinned, and he was still anointed, but he was rejected by God. Now when God found David, he told Samuel, go and anoint David, a man after my own heart. The 7 brothers were brought before, sons of Jesse. God said, I have not chosen any of them. Then he was asked, do you not have another brother, another son? He said, yeah, I have another one. He is taking care of the sheep. Then Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes back. So Samuel ensured that David was brought. Then the Bible tells us, 1 Samuel 16 verse 10, we can read, thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all these young men here? He said, there yet remains the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So what happens? When the anointing comes, when the oil was poured, the Holy Spirit came upon the believer. Examples of other anointed people are priests, Aaron and his sons. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 10 says, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So the anointing was, the oil was poured on the priest to consecrate them. Consecration means making holy. That means the Holy Spirit in your life also comes to make you holy. Psalms 133 verse 1 and 2 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. So, the precious oil upon the head. David said, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. That means that there is something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer that makes a difference that turns them into another man. Now let's look at Elisha and Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 19. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Assyria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved for myself 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing 12 yoke of oxen before him. He was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. So here, he was told to anoint him, but he went and threw his mantle on him, his garment on him, the prophetic garment. So Elisha was also anointed. That means that he also had the Holy Spirit upon him. So Elisha also received the Holy Spirit. And remember when Elijah was going, he said, "Give me a double portion of your anointing when you're going." Another example of people who are anointed is Samson. Samson was anointed through the Nazarite vow. You remember when he was born, God came and told his parents that this boy never cut his hair, never should he drink wine. And what happens? Because Samson kept the vow, the Holy Spirit will come upon him and give him strength. He will kill a lion. The Bible says in Judges 14 verse 5, "So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." So you can imagine, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he grabbed the lion and he teared like a goat. He teared it like a goat. A young lion, he just teared it. So, what was the secret of the anointing or the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Samson? It was in the covenant with his hair. So, Judges 16, you remember Delilah was asking him, "Tell me the secret. Tell me the secret of your power." And he says, "And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words, and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, 'No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak like any other man.'" Look, Samson knew that if he kept the obedience, the consecration of his hair, he was going to also be able to receive the Spirit of God. So now the Holy Spirit will come upon him and Samson will become very strong. You know, at times we think of Samson as a very muscular man, but he wasn't muscular. He was a very slender guy, very thin guy. But when the Holy Spirit will come upon him, he will be so powerful that he can kill 1,000 people. And people will ask, "But where is the source of his strength?" He knew that it was connected to his vow of his hair, but the source came from the Holy Spirit. That is very important. Another people who are anointed in the Bible are Bezalel and Aholiab. Now, these were artisans, people who make crafts. The Bible tells us, the Lord spoke to Moses, Exodus 31 verse 1, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and to all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put in him wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they make all that I have commanded you. Let me just stop there. So, can you imagine, even to design the Ark of the Covenant, God had to give this guy his spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit was not just for kings and prophets, but also for everyday work. That means that you and me can receive the anointing even to be a business person. You can have the Holy Spirit. He can give you the enablement even to be a leader in your office, even to understand how to raise a family. There is a specific anointing or gifting that the Holy Spirit will give to each and every one of you to be able to function. You want to be able to preach, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That power that comes from the Holy Spirit is what makes the difference. So there are people who are anointed. Not oil was poured, but they were anointed by the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Now, think of the New Testament, John the Baptist. The Bible says the angel came to Zechariah and said that your prayer is heard, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And the Bible tells us he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. So John the Baptist, the Bible tells us that he was filled with the Spirit of God from birth. Another person who was anointed, who is what? Jesus. Jesus also was anointed. And the Bible tells us, in Luke chapter 4 verse 17, he says, when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of favor of the Lord. What does this say? When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and he was anointed. And Acts 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit was necessary for Jesus to live on earth. That means that you, if you are a Christian, you must live with the Holy Spirit, you must obey the Holy Spirit, and you must ask God to give you more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay? It is the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Have you ever asked yourself, when you want to do something wrong, you feel in your heart that this is wrong? It is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you that this is a sin. Because the Holy Spirit comes to teach us the way, comes to show us when we have failed. The Holy Spirit is necessary for the believer. Also look at the other example of the church. Remember, the Bible tells us that the believers, they were all in one place, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues. And Acts 5 verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. The reason why you will do miracles, and I'm telling you, not pastors, you will pray for the sick, and the sick will be healed, is because of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is basically God in you. And God, the power of God, working in your life, and you giving the same power of God to change your situation. That means that when the Holy Spirit is anointing your mind, that means that you can think how God will do a problem. If there was a challenge, how do I solve this? And God anoints you with wisdom, you will be able to find an answer. If you go into history and you study all those people who made discoveries in science, Einstein, if you look at Alexander Fleming, if you follow through, they were all Christians. Many of them were Christians. Why? Because there are certain wisdoms that are only found with God. It is only God that can anoint you to be able to be effective in the workplace. Like the artisans, Bezalel and Aholiab, they were effective in just craftsmen. It is God who anointed Daniel. He was effective as a leader. God whose spirit was with Joseph. He was effective as a governor. It is God who anointed Elijah, the prophet. So those who serve in church are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And also those who serve in businesses, in workplaces, in the marketplace, are also anointed by the same Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses for God. Amen? So the church also is to be anointed. Acts chapter 8 verse 4, the Bible says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word of God. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes of one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were oppressed, possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I tell you, it is only by the anointing that we are going to heal the sick. Maybe you're here and you're having a pain, maybe on your left side. That pain will only go because of the anointing. Because of the Holy Spirit, He can take away pain from your stomach and take it up, and you're healed. Because of the anointing, and the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can receive healing. We can receive healing to our systems, to our body, organs, to everything that concerns us, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to say something also, that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. The Holy Spirit is not only for pastors alone. I know we think that, oh, it is only the leaders who need the Holy Spirit. Each and every person, you and me, every day when you wake up, say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know how to live today. Holy Spirit, guide me. I don't know what is the answer to my problem, to my health problem. Holy Spirit, show me the way. And I tell you, when you ask God, what happens is that He might answer you in a dream. You might just dream in the night and you see an answer. You might just be thinking and the thought comes to you, and God, through the Holy Spirit, gives you direction. You can hear His voice. God can just tell you, get up and go to the other room. And when you go to the other room, you meet someone who you are supposed to have met, who has the answer. The Holy Spirit will guide you where to invest, which job to apply, at which time do you need to move from one country to another. It is only the Holy Spirit that is going to guide you. If you listen to Him, He is going to guide you. Peter said that this promise is for you and for your children and for all who will come afar off who will believe. The Holy Spirit does not discriminate whether you are a child or an adult. You cannot say that the Holy Spirit is only for adults. The Holy Spirit is also able to fill children. You can see John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That means that your child can be anointed, can be consecrated, even from when they are small. And you pray for them, and God anoints them, and the Spirit of God, and this child becomes different. The reason why you are going to have a difference in your life is because of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to make you favored. It's going to make you a king. It's going to make you a priest unto God. Just like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit made them, give them a different heart, made them courageous, made them to be able to fight lions. You are going to be able to fight different challenges that will come your way. Maybe it is in your community, maybe it is in your tribe. There are issues that are there, but only the Holy Spirit is going to be able to overcome. The Bible tells us, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Say, you shall receive. So our job is to ask and receive. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood out and cried out and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty for God, that means that it is you that determines how much of God that you want in your life. You are the one that determines how much God will use you. It is you. It is your hunger. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit to whom those believing him will receive. So the Holy Spirit is available to the thirsty people. It is, that's what I'm saying, every day, if you just wake up, even when you are during working and you're struggling, you're looking at the computer, you don't know what to do, just say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, heal me. Holy Spirit, touch me. Now, as I say, the Holy Spirit is available for all believers. As a New Testament believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because without the Holy Spirit, you are dead. The day you believe in Jesus, God gives you the Holy Spirit into your spirit and makes you alive. That is how what is meant called to be born again. When you accept Jesus, what God does is he allows the Holy Spirit to come and live with you. That means that God is not in a building somewhere. When you live here today, God will go with you. You don't carry God in your pocket. You know, some people, they carry God in their pocket. Some people, God is in a corner somewhere. God, through the Holy Spirit, is inside us. That means he's not far from you. He is with you each and every day. He is the one that has been directing your steps. How you have come today, even to come to church, is the Holy Spirit that woke you up and told you, come. It is raining, but come. You are obedient, then he guides you. He guides you. So, I want to differentiate two things about the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit within you, inside you. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then there is the Holy Spirit upon you. Now, these are two concepts. When the Holy Spirit is inside you, he is the one that makes you a Christian. So every Christian receives the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes and enters inside their heart. But then there is something that is called the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Now, this is like the anointing, like the way the oil will come on the kings. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's no longer inside you, but he is also upon you. Now, when he's upon you, he gives you certain empowerment. You can have the gift of prophecy, the gift of preaching, the gift of healing people, the gift of praying for the sick and the sick are healed, the gift of praying for people with evil spirits and the evil spirits leave. What happens is the anointing comes upon you. Now, the anointing comes upon you when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit within you. The more you obey, the more you are guided, the more you read the word of God, what happens is God increases your anointing. So the anointing upon you, that means that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon you grows with the more you walk with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Whenever you have conquered one thing, let's say you have been praying for headaches and headaches are healed. That means that that level, you have conquered it. That means any other headache that you meet, it has to obey. Maybe you have conquered
the issue of jobs. And you realize that God has given you an anointing that you never lack jobs. Now, when you have the confidence and when you have the assurance that this anointing has come on you, then what happens is that any time you need a job, you know that God will provide. Why? Because there is a grace that has come upon you that is now helping you fight those battles. Every time Samson will now go and fight, he did not need to ask God, God, give me the Holy Spirit again. Eh? Anoint me again to fight this. He will just fight. So the anointing upon your life can increase. I tell you, the way I used to preach before is not the way I preach today. I have increased in the anointing. So each and every one of us can increase in the anointing that is upon us by asking God and depending on Him. And every day asking God, God, I don't understand the word of God. Help me to understand. Do you know there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation that it just opens the Bible. You understand. That's why Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. He said, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There is the spirit of power, spirit of miracles, spirit of healing. All these are anointings. Now, people who are more consistent and those who continue with God, they get more. And so, this person is working, he has the anointing for wealth, he has the anointing for healing, he has the anointing for wisdom, he has the anointing for leadership, and everyone is wondering, but you, why are you doing all these things? It's because he started with the simple anointing that God gave him, the anointing within, and continued following the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That word sons there is the mature sons of God. You have the ability to grow in the anointing. You have the ability to grow in the Spirit of God, in the things of the Spirit. Maybe God used to speak to you through dreams and he has stopped. Why? Because you stopped following him. But the moment you come back to God, those things start to come back. If God used to show you vision, he will bring them back. They are not gone. They are just that you are not at the place where you should receive them. Because in the spirit there, you have to be in certain places where you hear certain things. So the moment you are there, you will hear. The moment you move away, it is still there waiting for you to come back to the place of consecration, that you can receive the anointing. Amen. We are going to summarize, and I'm going to say three things that we have learned. The anointing symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The anointing points to the Holy Spirit. So don't glorify the oil, but remember it is God who has given you the grace to overcome the battles. When you are anointed, you are consecrated. You are made holy. When you are anointed, you are empowered. When you are anointed, you are given wisdom. When you are anointed, you are given protection of God. You are given influence. Look at what the Bible says. When David was anointed king, people who are dejected, people who are poor, people who are broken, they all came to him. You find people are following you. It's not because you are nice. It is because of the anointing. It's like a perfume. It attracts them. And you will wonder, why are things happening? It is because of the Spirit of God upon your life. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you need the anointing. You need the Holy Spirit to be alive. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to obey him, and you also need the graces of the anointing to be able to be effective as a believer.
So the anointing of the Holy Spirit is marked by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, you receive the Holy Spirit and the anointing comes within you. The anointing will guide you. The anointing will teach you. The anointing will bring you to the knowledge of truth. And all you need to do is ask and receive. Then the anointing upon the Holy Spirit will give you. Maybe God wants you to be an evangelist. He will anoint you for it. Maybe God wants you to be a Christian businessman. He will anoint you for it. Maybe God wants you to be a politician. He will anoint you for it. And you will know your anointing as you walk with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know your anointing for now, that means you're not hearing the Holy Spirit. But as you walk with the Holy Spirit, you will know your strengths. And if you know your strengths, do the work. Don't fear. Know that you are protected by covenant. Know that you have God with you. Know that this battle I have fought before, I will win. This one I conquered. David defeated Goliath. They fought other giants. But there was no need for them to be mentioned. Why? Because they have already conquered the realm of giants. So, every battle that you have overcome, that means that you will continue overcoming it as you walk with Jesus. Let us stand up and we're going to pray together.